There are voices in the galaxy that sing your name in light. There are voices in the sky who know you. And these same voices in the sky, these same voices in the galaxy, they came here on purpose and also birthed you on this planet, again, singing your name in light. And those ones that came, those star mothers, they remained with you for a while. And again, each time you came and went, these voices from the sky, they sang your name in light. And you carried that remembrance with you, coming and going, to and from home. And each time you came and went, the voices from the sky continued to sing your name in light. These star mothers remained for a while, giving you sacred instructions for life. And then by design, they went into a non-corporeal consciousness. But as we heard a moment ago, consciousness remains. And that consciousness from the Star Mothers is here with you now, but it exists in a non-corporeal form. And so we invite you to move into a place that allows you to see non-linear communication, for they are here with you now and wish to be invited a little closer. Do you invite the Star Mothers to come a little closer to you now? Oh, and that resounding yes, we invite you to come closer, come closer, come closer, is all it takes. And you are invited to feel a warm embrace for those who sang your name in light thousands of years ago. They are with you now. You carry that song within your soul, for it emanates from that place. And there is that remembrance, that memory, that golden thread that entangles you with the bigger you. This bigger you is what is starting to emerge. We do not say evolve because it has always been there. The evolvement is your awareness and understanding of the greater presence of the I am that is you. And the emergence of this bigger you is so that you can always walk with a song in your heart. And when you always walk with a song in your heart, you realize you are never alone. You realize you are dearly loved. And so we ask that you keep these star mothers with you now, as we move to the divine love that comes to you from Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. I have a story to tell you. I wish to reveal something that I've never revealed, even to my partner. Perhaps it's the timing of what you had given to you today about music, about tones, about frequencies, about some of the mysteries of how these things are evolving in science, in esoterics. My story, well, it's a very old one. I'm going to take you back almost 5,000 years to a place that has become very familiar to my partner, ancient Egypt. And there's a reason we're going there. I want you to visualize something in a reality I'm going to give you, a snapshot of the past. First and foremost, the philosophy, the perceptions of those in the earliest part of that Egyptian dynasty, they had a purity of belief, one that would surprise you. Because you're not always given all of it in history. I say that it is a purity because as this beautiful Egyptian time progressed and progressed in the thousands of years, it changed. The philosophy changed. What you would call their belief system changed. Not just with the conquerors, but with other pharaohs who decided to stamp their own ideas upon it. And you can see that reflected even in the hieroglyphs over time. How they built their temples and what they did and what they considered to be sacred or not over time shifted and changed. So we're talking about the early days, as early perhaps as the fourth dynasty with a pharaoh called Khufu. Khufu. This is not the way it sounded in the Egyptian tongue. It's as close as it gets. He decided he would build a pyramid. Unusual it was, for most of the tombs were underground. And that would be the way it was from then on, with the exception of the few. But he built a big pyramid, the biggest pyramid. And when he was a younger man, it began, and he had ideas of what he wanted to do there. Let's talk about tombs in general. All through Egypt, especially in the early dynasties, did you know that they believed that anyone could go to the other side, not just pharaohs, not just royalty? Everyone goes to the other side. However, included in that was a scenario of how you get there and perhaps how you present yourself or how you prove that you are worthy. And of course, the more you can take with you, the better time you'll have when you get there. And this is why when you open some of the oldest tombs in the Valley of the Kings and the Queens, you'll find the accoutrements that they wanted to take with them. One of the most famous, perhaps, the Tutankhamun, the boy king, Tut. When it was opened, you got to see the original intent. There it was, the chariot, the boat that would carry him across the river, all of the riches he would need to survive as a wealthy on the other side of the veil. And that was the intent. All over the walls, you'd find in the tombs the story of the one who was there, what they had done, the gods that they had pleased and talked to. It was all depicted on the walls. Hieroglyphs, they tell story after story. Perhaps the king's relationship to the giver of life, the Nile. All on the walls. The story of what was accomplished. And it didn't need to be a pharaoh. There were tombs discovered way later, just of wealthy individuals with the same philosophy, You put on the walls who you were, so that when you got to that place where decisions were made, they can see your life. That was the idea. That was the philosophy. Today they open the tombs. They realize they were all done in glorious color. Something you don't often see. Beautiful they were. All to honor the one to get to the other side with the most. With the proof that who they were. And some of the tombs were quite large. Almost all underground. But not Khufu. You see, he had an idea based upon what his advisors said, based upon the philosophy they had, an idea I have never told you about, and today is not understood. Here you go. Khufu was dying. The pyramid, it had been finished. Oh, what a sight. It glistened white in the desert. Beautiful it was. Gorgeous. Not anything of what it looks like today. It had taken 27 years and millions of workers. Workers who came from all over Egypt because they loved their pharaoh. And they put in several months of work. Accommodations around the pyramid that you can still see were built for them there so they could spend their time there in comfort. They were fed. And they gave to their pharaoh and their king the work that the architects had put together for the building of the pyramid. It was done. Khufu was sick. He was dying, and they knew it. And so the preparations began for something I've never talked about, something you won't find in the history book. And it happened. It's interesting. Most of the tomb's entrances in Egypt were hidden. They hide them because they don't want the grave robbers later in history than to disturb all that went into preparation. But this pyramid, oh, it had a really big door. Right on the side. Huge. Because that's where all would happen when they went in to celebrate Khufu and his death in a different way that he had planned, that he had been advised with, that they knew about. Interestingly, that door they later sealed with the same blocks that they built the pyramid with. It's not one you can open anymore. In fact, those who went in finally had to go in another way. But right now, the door is open, not blocked. There were some beautiful rampways and stairways. It went up the side of that pyramid, later removed, for the hundreds that would go in and participate in something. And they would participate in it for a number of days, taking turns. And I'll tell you what that is now. If you went into that door, you would not have an empty pyramid that was grand beyond belief and huge. They built some very special areas and a chamber for the king that was just almost too small, just big enough for a sarcophagus and a pew to stand around him. It wasn't huge. There was something else. Come with me as those hundreds flow into this pyramid in a very special room. That is not the king's chamber. It's an unusual looking room, not all that huge, but carefully designed. The walls are flat And they go up quite a ways, you can see, to almost a point. Unusual looking, it is. But the most unusual thing is there's no hieroglyphs. There are no accoutrements. There is nothing like what was in all of the other tombs in Egypt. It was almost barren. Very unusual. And when it was time, the first set and the first group went into that room. The king was taken literally through them and put into the sarcophagus in a very special way. And then it began. They started singing. And the sound that was created by that group was amplified and amplified. You could almost hear it from the outside of the pyramid. And they didn't stop. And when they were exhausted, the others came in and replaced them. And the singing continued and continued. For the king was told by his advisors that better than anything that he could carry with him or write on the walls, he could be sung to the other side by hundreds for days, and he'd go right there. Because sound was king. And that's what happened. And when they were finished, it took several months later to seal that entrance completely to the extent that even dynamite would not open it, which was tried. Now, let me continue the story over 5,000 years later. When my partner Lee first went into that pyramid, odd it seemed to him. He expected something grand. He expected hieroglyphs. He expected so much more. It's a puzzle. It's a puzzle to every single visitor or tourist that goes into the grandest tomb of all and finds almost nothing. The rooms are small, except one. Those that in the early days finally made their way into that pyramid and dug their tunnels that they needed to get into it and crawled up the ramp they needed to get to in the place that things started to open up, and there was a chamber with very smooth walls in a cone way that you could see going up to the ceiling. Very high it was. And there were no hieroglyphs. My partner did something he could do, for he was the leader of the group, and he took the guide who was there with him. The guide was a senior, a very special guide, one that he had gotten to know and they loved. And it's a guide that told him something. And he heard something. This particular guide, like no other guide in Egypt, who knew what he knew even before the university started teaching it, he said, the hieroglyphs in the tombs are meant to be sung. Oh, who told you that? This guide says, I sing them. I know the tunes. And I said to him, what is this room all about? He looked around because he didn't want any of the other guides to hear him say this. Not that he was afraid, but he didn't want to offend those who had gotten their degrees from the university and were told what to say. And he looked at my partner, and he looked up, and he said, well, I believe it had something to do with sound. Then my partner started to look at it a little closer. My partner was an audio engineer. In the days before digital, there were things that were necessary to build in studios in order to amplify sound in a beautiful way, to add echo, ambiance. So special rooms were built, and he had built one. My partner had built one in his third studio. As you looked at this place in this pyramid and you looked up, there were nodules on the walls, and he laughed because he realized this was the sound design he had to use to build an echo chamber. Non-parallel sides, make them as flat as possible, install the nodules to keep certain frequencies from amplifying. All of that was there, all of it. About sound, indeed, indeed. Today, for those of you who go there, look for that. Look for something so unusual. The biggest pyramid of all. The biggest tomb of all, with no hieroglyphs, where they didn't really find much of anything to go to the other side. And instead, they found a sound chamber where Khufu was sung to the other side. What do you think about music? What do you think about sound? I will end this channel now with only one statement. Please listen to the channel that you got earlier today to understand this statement. And here it is. Egypt is one of the very few societies or cultures known to use base 12. They knew about it. They knew all about it. Dear ones, I give this to you freely in a reality, hopefully, that you can carry home to understand what might be coming. The discovery of frequencies, sound, music that no one really expected. I'm crying in love with you all, and so it is.